I'm Ali, and thank you for joining the People Puzzles podcast. Every episode, we share stories, examples, and our learnings to help you unravel the people puzzles in your business. I started People Puzzles over a decade ago because I really believe that when you have the right people doing the right stuff, your business can really thrive. And most business leaders really appreciate having a trusted people expert to help them get it right. I've worked with over 100 small and mid-sized businesses, and at People Puzzles, we have over 80 portfolio people directors helping businesses to thrive across the UK. I'm delighted to welcome Verena Hefti with me today. She is the CEO and founder of the social enterprise Leaders Plus. Now, you might not have heard of Leaders Plus, but it's an amazing organization, and it believes that no parent should have to choose between pursuing a leadership career and leading a fulfilled family life. And of course, this is a much wider equal pay and inclusion issue, as well as helping individual people. So, Verena, thank you for joining me today. I am really keen to talk to you about two key issues. One is about being a CEO with small children, which is a position I held for a while and then found quite challenging, let me say. But I know it's a challenge whether you are male or female. The other is about how, as business leaders, we can support, enable, and get the best out of our working parents. So hopefully we can cover both of those to a degree today. So to kick off, please, can you tell me a little bit about yourself? Why and how did you get interested in this topic?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. I live what I'm talking about. So I have three young children myself. The youngest is three and the oldest seven. And I was always very career driven. I still am. And when I set up Leaders Plus after a successful career as a charity director, I realized that not everyone, saw working parents as high potential as I saw myself. And I really wanted to create a space where we support working parents to continue to get to senior leadership, because at the moment, too many of them get stuck or even leave the workforce, which has a massive implication on organizations, but also on working parents' lives themselves, because it is fun to work and it is enjoyable to make a difference in a senior role. And it's absolutely essential for more people with young children who have caring responsibilities to continue their careers if we want real gender equality in senior leadership.
Yeah, I mean, when I look back to my childhood, my mum didn't work very much. And she sort of went back to work part-time. And I think we're in that generation. I say we, me, I also have a small child, in that generation where you sort of think, I want something a bit different than what I grew up with, because I see that there is more potential and opportunity to have both of those things.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
It's been an urgent issue because we've seen research that shows that one in four working parents has moved employers because they weren't sure that they could progress with young children in tow. And in my experience, very often those working parents don't actually have the conversation with their employers about it. It's a thing that they talk about it with their friends, or they think about it in their own heads, but they don't talk about their ambition and the challenges they're facing with their the employers, or they're not open enough. They might just make a hint and say, oh, I would love to have a more senior role, but do it flexibly and not really have the full conversation, but then just decide that elsewhere is better and leave.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really sad, isn't it? And it's really sad as an employer to hear that, because if you could have possibly kept that person, if you think they were, you know, a good team member, yeah, miserable. So this podcast is primarily designed for business leaders. Why should business leaders, I mean, we've touched on it a little bit already, but why should business leaders bother to worry about supporting working parents?
It is the easiest way to attract good people. I spoke to someone yesterday who said, you know what, my well-being is whether or not my child is happy. And so if you can help a working parent have the space of being present with their child, feeling like they're a good enough parent, feeling like they're not failing, just by letting them do the parenting, if you can do that, they're going to be so loyal and they're going to stick with you forever.
Yeah. And actually, sometimes you look at all of those people you know, coming through their 20s and 30s, and you think, these are my leaders of the future. And then they have children, and you think, oh, now they're not as useful to me. And that is just such a terrible mindset, isn't it?
I think there's something really important, though, as well, about the gender equality in senior roles. So for those of your listeners who are bidding for commercial contracts, more and more of those, especially in the public sector, will ask about gender pay gap, will ask about equality, and so on and so forth. And so if you are able to keep women from, to help women progress their careers, you're much more able to create that equality in senior leadership level, because the root cause of so many, you know, of most of the leadership teams being white male middle class is because many women just get stuck at the time when they have babies. And if you're able to turn that around, then you are going to look really good when you are bidding in competition with others who don't have that equality element.
Well, and I guess the other side of that is, you know, you might not be able to afford an 80 grand salary for a senior person in a growing business or, an SME. But actually, if you could pay for 2/3 of that person's time, you get the expertise, you get the right level of decision maker, ability to line manage other people, and you don't pay, the wage bill is so much less, isn't it? So there's a massive silver lining there as well, which maybe we overlook.
Oh, yeah. I think it's funny. The other day I was talking to a very seasoned business leader, and he told me, oh, yeah, if you're advertising for a part-time role, you need to up the salary because people won't want to, the pro rata salary, because people don't want to take a part-time role. But I said, well, actually, you're so wrong. That's people really value. And I think it is a problem. Sadly, part-time roles are paid less per hour, and that is a problem. It's a root cause of the gender pay gap. But people really value, they will seek out employers. If you get a reputation as an employer where you can be a really excellent leader, but you can also be present with your children, you'll find it so easy to attract the right people.
Yeah. We've got a 3-day-a-week marketing director at People Puzzles, and that is a key reason that she joined us and that she applied for the role.
And it's amazing the quality of people you get. Such a good position to be in. I think how you've got such experience, you've got such a track record. Why are you applying to this role when you could easily get, a role with a really big, famous organization? And it just hits me every single time when I recruit. It's because they want to work for someone who is supportive of working parents.
Verena, I know you've been doing some research. So can you tell us a bit about the types of flexibility that people are saying they really want at work? Because I guess if you're giving people the wrong type of flexibility, it's not going to do the job, is it?
So first of all, you need to ask the question of the person, because it will be very different. Generally, if you ask them, they will be keen to make it work, and they will only suggest something that they've thought through, especially when you're recruiting for a senior role. If not, obviously don't appoint them if they don't think about it from a business perspective. There is a formal flexibility, which is really important. So a proper agreement of, 3 days, 4 days, what hours they're working, is it agile or not? And then there's also the informal flexibility. So a lot of parents are worried about the unexpected stuff. So I've just spent last night in A&E with my little one. He's fine. But that's the sort of thing that working parents will want to know, that if they have to take their child to A&E during the day, that they're supported. And if you can be very, really clear and have it in your policy about how you'll deal with unexpected child-related care and responsibilities, that's quite important. Also, transition points. So having policies around key transition points, you'll definitely have thought of maternity leave, coming back from maternity leave, how you support them then, having conversations, maybe offering a face to return or so. But also consider the start of primary school, which is a really big upheaval in many families' lives. And if you don't have children, just to say that it could take 2 weeks for a primary school to actually provide a full day between 9 to 3 childcare. It takes ages in some primary schools. So even, just asking the question, don't make any assumptions. And I think the worst mistake I've seen employers do is to assume that there's something the working parent wants and to proactively offer it to them. I had one example of a working parent who really was passionate about the overseas work. And then the employer said, oh yeah, no problem. I know now you have a baby. You don't want to go to the US anymore. So I've given it to your colleague. And of course she felt absolutely mortified and almost left the employer because she felt it was taking opportunities away. For another person, that would have been the right thing to do. So ask the question is the most important thing, and then formalize the agreement.
Yeah, I can see that. So asking people is a really great tip. And it's funny how little you might think of doing that. So really useful. And the business leader perspective that I've come across probably the most through People Puzzles is that leaders want a balance where they're happy to be flexible with people if it also means they get the productivity, you know, the improved or equal levels of performance. So what is it that helps and what hinders productivity from the data that you've gathered?
You know, the good news is that in our research, 44% of parents say that it increased their productivity having a child. As in not having a child itself, but you know, what comes with it, the relentless focus that you get. What helps with productivity is to have consistent support. So if the manager tells the person what is expected, if they know what to do in situations where unexpected things arise, for example, the nursery calls, the manager, that really helps productivity. The other thing that is essential for good levels of productivity, especially with working parents, but also elsewhere, is outcome-based management, which is a skill. But essentially, it means you are very clear of what outcomes a job needs to achieve, what targets, what KPIs, and you are holding the person accountable to whether or not they're achieving that, rather than holding them to account at what time they sit at their desk.
I guess that is when it can get difficult, isn't it? Knowing how much to be understanding and how much to expect results, because there's the odd day here and there, but sometimes children get all manner of chicken pox and things that are sort of 10 days off school. I mean, have you got any tips? I mean, would you suggest that people don't get paid, or that they have to take their holiday, or that the employer just should pay them for that time and, you know, sort of it's part of the equation? What tips have you got?
I think it is tough, isn't it? When you have a person in a key role and they have a child, that is off for 2 weeks and they have maybe two or three children and then it's one after the other.
Yeah.
I think from a practical perspective, just knowing in advance what your policy is, some organizations do have carers leave, and that's exactly it. So it's unexpected, you know, covering when children are ill, for example. And I think if you do that, then you also have a certain limit, I think. And then I'm not an HR person, but I would recommend that individuals just have an open conversation and ask the question of what is possible here. And it may be that you want to reduce the number of hours worked, because unless it's a single parent without any support, which of course some people are, it is possible that during those weeks they work a number of hours. And for those of us who are in couple relationships, I think I would encourage the employer also to ask the question of what hours can be covered by someone else in the house. Especially with young children, I think be very careful about the assumption that you can any work can be done meaningfully with young children in the background, because it's just it is very close to impossible. So I would say if their children are under the age of 5, don't assume that they can do work meaningfully when the child is in the background. It will be very different from child to child, from family to family. But I think really ask what time might you be able to work. And it could be that during certain weeks, they have to reduce their hours. You might be able to be generous and pay for the full salary. You might also not. But talking to them about maybe if they can work in evenings after children are to bed, or also if the other half, if they happen to have one, or other family members can help look after. But it is absolutely not easy. I think, go on.
I was going to say, I've even heard of organisations that sort of have a fund, which is called almost like a family-friendly fund, which tops up. So, you know, there's this understanding that, well, you still do your working hours, and if you can't, that comes out of a different pot. So it's, you know, there to support working parents, but it's a real obvious statement that it's not part of your normal working hours or your salary. It's like a top-up from a different pot. I don't know whether that helps.
I love that. I've never heard that before. Interesting.
Just coming back to this outcome-based management, because I think lots of companies would say, they'd like to operate like that. But it does require a bit of a shift in thinking. And maybe there's some jobs that that's easier than others. Do you think that's a sort of seniority level requirement? Or do you think outcome-based management can work across an organization?
I think it can work across an organization, but you need different skills. For sales, obviously, very easy, isn't it, to have outcomes? You know if the sales targets have been hit or not. And for other roles, it is less easy. So what you need to do is to train either yourself or your managers to identify clearly what the outcomes are and what objectives the individual needs to hit. And I think going by a 90-day, just focusing on what needs to be achieved in those 90 days, if it's someone at a mid-manager level, for example, I think the more junior the person is, the shorter you want the time frame to be. So if it is something if the person is more junior, then make it by monthly outcomes. What are the things? And then have my top tip practically is to have separate meetings to talk about just the KPIs and the outcomes. And then a meeting about, how are you doing generally, your development, et cetera, et cetera. So you're separating the conversation and it enables you, if you separate those two conversations, you can have much more powerful, constructive discussions when things are off track. Yeah, but I have not come across roles where it's impossible to do outcome-based management.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you. So let's come back to this issue of retaining great people, because you've already told us that stat that one in four people who are working parents will leave their job to look for somebody more family friendly, and that this is potentially a way to stand out. What in your experience is, how do you sort of shout about that option? Is there a different place to advertise? Like, what's your advice around trying to attract great people in that part-time space?
Well, working parents talk, especially those who work part-time. They talk on the playground, they talk to their friends, they talk on Facebook, WhatsApp, and so on. So if you create stories of support that are powerful, people will repeat it. And what I mean by that is that you put your money where your mouth is and you make some really big, significant commitments. So yes, you definitely need to say, we're very supportive parents, come and talk to us and so on. Here are the policies, but you'd be surprised how many people still don't assume that you're supportive. They're really scared, in my experience, to talk about what they want. I think putting your money where your mouth is by, for example, during busy period, during school holidays, if you can afford it, hiring freelancers to make sure that it is possible that several members of your team, if you have just parents in your team, can go on leave at the same time. I'm not saying that's the right thing for your business, but just really making big choices, maybe being the first in your industry in the local area to hire a job share, maybe putting someone on a course like the Leaders Plus Fellowship, which is designed to help parents progress their careers with children on tow. That's really, really important. I think there's also something about the fact that so you might listen to this and you might think, oh yes, I'm really good at supporting working parents. But the data shows is that it is quite possible that your working parents might not necessarily agree with this. I'm not saying this in a negative way. It's just because when you look at 86% of the people that we surveyed who were from both large and small organizations said that they wanted to progress their careers, but 30% thought they can't do it with their current employer. But they weren't having the conversations. So making a big statement saying, you know what, I'm supporting you here to do this. People will then talk about this on the playground, in the lunch break. I can guarantee you that your parents are at the workplace are talking to each other because they know what they're going through.
Yeah, that's useful. And I guess there's probably awards you can win as well if you really want to be known for it in a local area. At People Puzzles, we are such a flexible first organization. I think that sometimes I take it for granted that other people aren't. I mean, at People Puzzles, we have a massive minority. I don't know, maybe 20 or 30% of people work full time and everybody else works part time. And it's sort of hardwired into the whole structure of People Puzzles. And it means we get these amazing, very well qualified, very senior level people and HR directors who want to work in a different way. So I am a massive fan of building that flexibility into the system. I mean, I think you've given us some really good examples of why it's worth it. What would you say to the business leader that says, well, I think I'm really flexible and actually I feel like I'm taken advantage of by people who maybe don't sort of give back? You know, there's all sorts of ways of putting it, isn't it? But don't reflect my flexibility with the delivery I'd expect for them, or they, you know, they sort of push my boundaries further than I'm comfortable with. What could they do to sort of work out what's really going on there?
I think, of course, it will happen. It's highly, it's very rare that it happens, but there are bad people everywhere. Sorry, that sounded more sinister than I meant to. But I think what you have then is a performance management issue. If you think, so let's say you have someone in a sales role and they are not hitting their sales target, and their sales targets are adjusted from a 5-day week to a 3-day week, they've been lowered, but they're not hitting them, then you need to treat it as a performance management conversation. And you do performance management with people who work flexibly exactly the same way as people who work full time. But what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I wonder whether the starting point is a conversation about outcome-based management, back to what you said. You know, I think you should be delivering this, what it feels like. I think maybe, you know, employers are scared of talking about it to feel like they're not being family-friendly enough. Of course, an employee might find it difficult. And actually, if we can just put it on the table, I love your idea about a separate KPI meeting in a different time than the how's this working flexibly and how are you, and you know, that holistic approach to people, your wellness, your balancing, your you know, how work's fitting in. Those two conversations, splitting them, takes away a lot of the emotion and probably the fear around talking about KPIs. So
yeah, and I think surely every single one of your employees will have something in their objectives around thinking about the business need. So if you think they're not thinking about the business need, then you need to say that, say, my impression is this. This is the behavior that you've shown that made me think that you are not considering the business need. And having that open conversation, but also be challenged. And that's, and in my experience, so many working parents are not really saying what's on their mind. So just shutting up and listening and understanding what is the reason that they're acting the way. If they really don't understand the business need, you have a massive performance issue.
Yeah.
But there might be something else at play.
Yeah, brilliant. So just to close then, you've told us a little bit about it already, but can you just sort of summarize for us the most common mistakes that we can make when dealing with working parents and how we can approach those issues differently?
The most common mistake is not to put your actions where your mouth is. So if you talk flexible working, then you also need to act flexible working. If, and especially do that for senior roles as well. And if you don't know how to make it happen, then get support, for example, in the form of the Leaders Plus Fellowship for your individuals so they can thrive. Because there are organizations who are good at getting people into senior level, who are helping people to thrive at that level with children. And so you might as well get the support. And I think that the second thing is employers are not asking, how is it going for you? And are not shutting up when the person is starting to talk, because it's really tough to talk about your needs as a working parent. People are scared to do so. They are worried about how they will be judged. So just ask the question and then shut up.
Yeah. As you said at the beginning, don't assume. And I think that is very wise and very helpful. And actually, it's made me think probably I should go back at People Puzzles, because we assume we're brilliant at flexible working. But actually, I'm sure there are times when we also make it tricky for people. So, yeah, thank you. That's great. So just to summarize, if you want to get hold of Verena and Leaders Plus, please check out the website. They've got resources, they've got research, all sorts of ideas. And actually, outcome-based management is not only good for managing flexible people, as we've talked about today, but also home workers, hybrid workers, and in fact, anyone. You know, isn't it much more important to see what people have delivered and what impact they're having and what they're adding to the business goals than it is to know they've been sitting at their desk for 7.5 hours a day doing, well, hopefully good things, but maybe people can sit and look busy and we don't quite know what they're doing. So we'd love to hear any stories or examples of ideas people have had about making flex work really well in your organisation. But I'd just like to finish by saying thank you, Verena. It's been really fantastic to host you, and look forward to chatting more in the future.
Thank you so much, Ali. It's been a pleasure.
Bye, everybody.